You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Recently, I read a story. This is an old story, but I'm not sure if everybody's heard of it. I think the story, it's actually a true event that happened in 2012, and it was off the coast of Nigeria. Amen. And so, there was a ship, a small ship. It's not a big cruise liner ship, and so this ship is off the coast of Nigeria, and so it's got about 12 people on board, and so it's like a tugboat type of thing, and this ship is kind of doing some work. It does work out at sea, and the sea is becoming really rough. The ship is being blown around, but those that work on ships or they're involved in these type of things, this is common. When you expect there to be wind and waves when you're on the sea. What happens is that one of the guys, his name is Harrison Oki. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. I probably pronounced it wrong, but if you're Nigerian, forgive me. But he's on the ship, and he was the cook on the ship. And so he's down in the belly of the ship, and so he was actually going to the toilet. He's actually going to the toilet, and he's finished, and he's about to come out, and he feels the waves pushing him all around. And all of a sudden, the ship turns upside down. And so as the ship turns upside down, obviously everything that he's involved in is turned upside down. And he's trying to get out of the ship, trying to get out of the room that he's in. And as he's trying to exit the room, exit the ship, he's in the corridor, water is rushing in. There's his shipmates being blown around by the waves, pushed around, by the waves. And so he is pushed into this other room in the ship. He's pushed back and the door slams. And this is the power of the waves. The water is rushing into the ship. And what is happening on the outside, the ship is actually sinking now. And the ship actually sinks to the bottom of the sea. And so it goes about 40 to 30 meters down. And so here is this ship, about 30 meters down. And so what's happened is now the water has rushed into the ship, and the room that this Harrison is in, there's about 4 feet of an air bubble. And so he's in this air bubble now. And so he's just surviving in this air bubble. The water is cold. And what actually happens is he's there for 3 days. Now think about this now. He's at the bottom of the sea for 3 days, pitch black. He says in the first hours that he was there, he could hear his crew members in different parts of the ship screaming for help. But as the days go by, he stops hearing them. The last thing he would hear is bubbles blowing, blah, 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 blah. And then he doesn't hear them anymore. He's in pitch black. At the bottom there, it's going to be freezing. If you've ever, you've gone to a swimming pool and you just tap your toe and you're like, oh, this is a bit cold. Or you go to the beach and you're like, it feels a bit cold in the beginning. This is way colder than that. And he's there for 3 days in the pitch black, in the water up to his waist. For 3 days, just surviving in this air bubble. Not knowing if someone's going to rescue him or not rescue him. Not knowing how quick the water's going to rush in. After 3 days, some divers go and they try to salvage the ship. And as they swim past him, he sees them. And you can see actually the video online. And they see his hand and he stretches out his hand and they grab him and they're shocked. And he actually survives. He's there for three. When you're under the sea for 3 days, the pressure under there changes your whole body, how your heart is and the chemicals. You can't just come up to the surface quick. They had to put him in a decompression chamber for another 2 days. It's a miracle, really, that he survived. I want to preach a sermon on survival because I believe that God has called us to be survivors. I believe that in life we're going to go through some things, some traumatic things, just like Harrison in this boat. There comes times when your life turns right upside down. There's times when you don't know where you are, whether you're up or down, whether you're below or above, whether you don't see what's going on. You can be in total darkness. But I'm here to tell you today that God is able to make you survive. That God is able to rescue you and bring you out of this. I want to preach a few sermons over the next 4 weeks on survival, different things that we can survive. The text today, Acts 28, verse 3, when we read this, we're preaching and we pray, we're going to believe God. But when Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hands, so that when the natives saw it, when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire, suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm came to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Let's pray. Father, we ask you right now for your grace, your mercy. We thank you that we can come into your house on the Lord's day, your day, and Father, worship you and hear your word and pray to you and have fellowship with your people. Father, but most of all, we need you to meet with us today. Transact with us. Father, let this be more than just information. Father, we have no confidence in the flesh because the flesh profits nothing. But Father, we pray that you would meet with us in the Spirit, that these words would be Spirit. Father, that our hearts would be open to your Spirit, that our ears, our inner ear, would be open to the voice of your Spirit. Speak to us, Father, because it's your Spirit that brings life. Let Jesus be magnified, and all God's people said, and the real church said, amen. Look at someone and say, survive. Amen. Look at someone and say, you're a survivor. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Some of you need to survive. Amen. When I was a kid, there was a... I lived in Vauxhall. When I was growing up, I grew up in Vauxhall. And so I lived in an estate, council estate. I think I was on the third... We lived on the second floor, the third floor. And downstairs, they had these it was like a giant flower pot made of concrete. It was massive. And they had two of them, and it was filled up with dirt. The flowers had long been destroyed by us. And so it just dirt, it was in it. And so we used to jump up on it. So it's about this high, and we would jump up on it. And in the area, like any area, if you've grown up in an area where, you know, there's always a dog that everybody knows. I mean, no, there's always somebody that's got a dog that everybody knows and is always running around. And so in our area, there was a dog. It was called Prince. So, sorry, Prince. But there was a dog. And, you know, knocking it. But there was a dog called Prince. And so I remember whose dog it was. And it had tiny, I don't know, it was a mongrel dog. It was a black dog. And it had a normal body, but it had tiny legs. This dog, so it was really low. So it looked, I don't know, like a Doberman with little legs. It had like a Doberman's face, Doberman's body, but tiny legs. And so what we did, now look, come on. I wasn't saved and I was very young. So don't ring up the RSPCA, whatever it is. And so what we would do is that we would make the dog chase us. And so so you had these big flower pots, and then there was like a green area. And so it was fenced off. It was probably about twice as big as this whole building area here. And so there was a game that we would play, is that we would jump off this, because he couldn't, if we were on these big flower pots, he couldn't reach. He'd be barking, but he couldn't reach us. So we would jump down. and we try to kick the dog. Now, it's not, don't kick dogs. It's not nice. Even the Bible says when a wicked man treats animals, and there is a scripture that's connected to that. So we're not saying that, yeah? And so we didn't damage the dog. He's probably still alive now. You know, who knows? And so kick the dog, and then we would try to run around the whole green while the dog is chasing us. And see if you could make it back onto the flower pot. You jump up on the flower pot. And so it's like that. And so we would do this all the time. And so you get down. And so one day, I did it, but I kind of didn't get the rhythm right. And so I'm running around this thing, and this dog is catching me. And I go around the thing. And just before I get back on, I come around the street. I'm coming down here. And before I get, it bites me, and it bites me right on the calf here. And so it bit me, but it's just like his teeth went in me. No chunks of meat came out. And so I fell on the floor, served me right, jumped onto the thing. And so I was all that, you know, bitten and in pain and whatnot. And so I went upstairs and I told my mum. And I said, you know, but when I told my mum was like, what did you do to the dog? That dog has never bitten me. I heard it barking downstairs. Mum, I was just walking past the dog. Just walking, you know how it goes. And then your mum gets in. I'm going to sort that dog out. Some of you, you know, that's how you go to school. You're the bully, and then someone knocks you out, and then you go, oh, they bullied me, and your mom goes down, and you're the bully. But anyway, I'm digressing. That was an expected bite. How many know if you go around kicking dogs, you're going to get bitten? How many know if you go around kicking dogs, you deserve to get bitten? But what we see in the scripture today is Paul is bitten, and this is an unexpected bite. This is not Paul antagonizing anything. He's just building a fire. He's collecting sticks to build a fire. They've actually just come from a shipwreck, as the text tells us. And Paul has escaped the shipwreck, and they're on shore now. He's building a fire. And as the Bible says, a viper comes out, bites him on the hand, fixes to his hand. And so all he was doing, he was trying to build a fire. I want to tell you today is that you've got to survive the bites of life. That you may not be, we think that everybody that gets bitten by life, everything that goes wrong in life, they deserved it. Well, listen, we all deserve bad things to happen to us because we've all done bad. So we can't look at other people and say, yeah, they deserve it. Listen, once you say someone deserves something, then you're saying you deserve it as well. This was the whole thing about the woman caught in adultery. The Bible says there is a woman caught in adultery, and they bring this woman to Jesus. Now, this is shameful, man. You know, it's one thing to be an adulteress. That's a shameful thing. But to be caught in the very act, that's shameful. And they bring this woman to Jesus, and they say, listen, the law says, blah, 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 we need to stone this woman. And what they're saying is, listen, Jesus, we want law. We want law. We want justice. Let's stone her. And the Bible says that Jesus says these immortal words. He that is without sin, cast the first stone. What Jesus is saying, if you want law, judge yourself under the law then. If you want justice, let the justice start with you first. And anybody, the Bible says, the older people figured it out before the younger people. That's just the reality. The Bible says the older people start, boy, if that's the truth, I've lied, so I deserve it, and I've stolen. No. See, sometimes life is going to bite you. Things happen when you're trying to do something positive. Paul is trying to build a fire here. Paul is trying to do something good. This is when the viper comes out. The Bible actually says, because of the heat, the viper comes out. Can I tell you, many times, when you're trying to do more things for God, the viper comes out. When you're trying to live for God more, some of you, why am I going through this? Because of the heat stirred up the viper. Before they tried to start a fire, the viper would have stayed there. Sometimes it can feel like one thing after another. Have you ever been there? Where you're like, oh, not another thing. You know they say bad things come in threes. I believe that. If I look at my life, sometimes I believe that. Yet you've survived. Think about it now. Paul is a prisoner.
He's been arrested for just preaching the gospel. That alone would freak some of us out. Then he's in a shipwreck. He's just survived the shipwreck. That alone, oh my days, I'm a prisoner for preaching the gospel, and then I've been in a shipwreck, and then I survived the shipwreck and just come to shore, and I'm trying to build a fire, and come on, I don't need this. One thing after another. You lose your job, kids get sick, and then your fridge breaks down. It's like one thing after another. This is where Paul is. This is what's going on here. The Bible says that the viper comes out. I wanted to buy one of those fake snakes, but I didn't have a chance. But you can just imagine, the Bible says he comes out and he bites his hand. And he fixes to his hand. This is very interesting, that the viper didn't bite his foot. Didn't bite his ankle or his calf or his leg. He bites his hand. This is the very thing Paul needs to build with. This is the very thing. The word hand is synonymous with strength. It's synonymous with control. It's what Saul is using to build. And many times, what the enemy wants to do is disable you. This is what he wants to do. He wants to disable you. He wants to wear you down. He wants to latch on to the very thing that will stop the progress. And this is why when you start to build something and you start to go through something in life and you start to build anything, the enemy wants to latch on to the very thing that you're trying to build with. He will attack you at that very place because he wants to disable you. This is his MO, his mode of operation. This is how he operates. As soon as you start to say, look, God, I want to get on fire. I want to do some right things. I want to do some things. The viper comes out and latches on your mind. He's hooked on. Now prayer is so difficult. Said it before. There's times when you can pray for 5 minutes and it felt like an hour. You ever been there? You've gone down to pray, oh, Father, and you don't know what to say anymore. God, I must have been here an hour, 5 minutes. You feel as carnal as the day's long. You know the seasons when you're rejoicing that you pray for an hour and it felt like 5 minutes. You just pray, I just want to stay in the presence of God. Oh, my days, I've got to go to work. But you was there. But I'm talking about the opposite. When reading your Bible, it's like the pages are made of lead. Open it, it feels. It's like each word. Have you ever been reading your Bible? I've got to confess. There's times when I'm reading my Bible and I've read two chapters and I'm like, what did I read? I know this brother's carnal, man. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. Well, you're reading and you're like, what did I read? Other times when you just open a scripture by accident at a certain page and you read it, it's like, that's exactly what I needed. But can I tell you, life is not always like that. Because the enemy, the viper, is going to attach himself to your hand. Attach himself to your mind. Because you're trying to do things. You're trying to start a fire. You're trying to bring some heat. You're trying to bring revival. You know, one of the things that I've noticed as a pastor, as you pastor, you learn things that you could never know as a disciple. And you see a couple and God is moving on people. The pastor doesn't raise up people. God raises up people. I can give you a title, a position, but if God's not on you, that will mean nothing. I'll give you the title, put you in a position, we can put you on, do something with you. If God's not on you, it will mean nothing. Really, it will fizzle out. But there are times when you see God on a couple, married couple, and you start to speak to them about ministry and about destiny and about God using them. And so many times, as soon as you do that, within a few weeks, their marriage, it's like hell hits their marriage. It's like all hell downloads on their marriage. It's like they struggle. All things are happening because the viper will attach himself and bite that marriage. Because he knows when that marriage is in damage, when that marriage has been bitten, when the viper is attached to that marriage has now been disabled. How many know you can't do nothing when your marriage is upside down? When a wave is hit your marriage, and at one moment it was like, there's this peace, and this tranquility, and this love, and this destiny, and spirituality. But a wave hits, and now you're upside down in a tight space, in a dark space. I said the devil can attach himself to your money, to your ministry. But I'm preaching about surviving this. Paul survived this attack. Paul survived, and I want to say that we can survive the attacks of our enemy. You can survive. You don't have to remain where you are. This is not going to be the last chapter of your book. There is more to be written about your life that's coming. Can I tell you, there is so much more. There are many times in my life where I thought I was at the last chapter. Can I be honest? There are many times when I thought, you know what? I'm discouraged with myself. Let alone what others think about me. But I want to say is that God has called me to tell you that you will survive. You can survive. That God is in the ministry of surviving. See, a survivor is refusing to die. If you're going to survive, refuse to die. Look at someone and say, refuse to die. Refuse. Refuse to die. Harrison, he's in this ship. He's in darkness for 3 days. He's freezing cold for 3 days. I keep trying to picture that. Imagine in darkness, not knowing what's above you, what's beneath you, what's beside you. All alone, not knowing if anybody's coming for you. You know, I saw a little clip of the interview he made. He had this interview. And, you know, there is a certain tenacity to this guy. And so he starts to pray. He's actually praying while he's in this thing. And the guy said, what was you praying? And this is, I love this. He started to pray like this. This is what he said. He says, listen, God, I'm not going to do a Nigerian accent. But he says, but you can imagine it. He says, God, you blessed me with this job. You didn't give me this job so that I would die. He says, God, you blessed me with a wife. You didn't give me this wife so I could make her a widow. He says, God, I don't even have any children yet. And you said that I would be fruitful. He starts to pray these prayers. He's refusing to die. He's refusing. He's in the deepest, darkest, loneliest, coldest place he's ever been in his life. This is traumatic for him. This is not a light thing. When they brought him out and they put him in a decompression thing for 2 days and then he'd go home, when he'd be lying in bed, he would shout out in the night thinking he was sinking into his bed and his wife would have to say, Harrison, no, you're here at home. This was traumatic. This was deep, but he's able in the darkest moments to say, I refuse to die. Paul is bitten by this serpent, bitten by the viper. He doesn't roll over and cry and say, oh, you know what? Woe is me. Why am I a prisoner? Woe is me. Why have I been shipwrecked? Woe is me. Now I've been bitten. God, where are you? The Bible says simply what he does is when he is bitten, he shakes it off. He shakes it off. He shakes it off. He shakes it off into the fire. Can I tell you, you've got to say, I refuse to die. I refuse to die. Yes, I've been bitten, but I refuse to die. Listen, this is no surprise if you know Paul. Listen to the words of Paul, Philippians 4, verse 13. History tells us Paul wrote this when he was in prison. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does that sound like a man is in prison? No, because he's not in prison. Romans 8, verse 37. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angel nor principality nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us, say us,
That's you and me. Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Refusing to die is shaking off what has bitten you. You know, this word shaking off, we don't see it in many places in the Bible. The only other place you see it in the Bible is where Jesus tells the disciples, go and preach, and if they don't hear you, he says, shake off the dust of that place. Shake it off your foot. Just shake it off. People don't receive it. Jesus told us, people will think, sometimes we think we're more Jesus than Jesus. They reject it. Oh, no, but no, Jesus said, listen, if they don't want it, shake it off. Go find someone who does want it. The word shake it off, what it means is get rid of it. If you're going to survive, you've got to shake off what has bitten you. Have some of you been bitten? Some of us, have we been bitten? Have we been bitten by the words of others? You know, there are sometimes backbiters that have bitten us. You've heard people say things about you. And it's discouraged you. I don't know who they think they are. You're just trying to live for Jesus. That's who you are. How many of you have ever, you're just trying to live for Jesus and do the right thing. Try to follow God and people are biting you. And sometimes you can get discouraged about that. People can misinterpret what you do and what you, and why you do things and why you say things. And you've been bitten. Sometimes people have been bitten by the words of others. You got saved, people are biting. Why are you saved? Why are you serving God? They'll disrespect the faith that you received. They'll disrespect the church, that the place where you received. You've been bitten. You've been bitten. And it will affect you if you don't shake it off. If you don't shake it off. Some of us, we can be bitten by the sins of the flesh. And this can go both ways. This can be the secret sin. That we're involved in secret sin. It's bitten us and it pulls us back. Rather than repent and confess and just say, listen, I've messed up. I've been doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. We hide it. Walking around with this thing hanging off us. Coming to church, lifting our hands with the viper fixed to us. Ministering, trying to, if I do things enough, listen, you've got to remove that thing before you can move forward. Sometimes it's not just the secret sin, it's the public sin. When we've messed up and everybody knows it. And you know what we do? We pull back like, God is finished with me. Can I tell you, God is not finished with you. God is not like man. Man is finished with us so easily, so quickly. But I thank God, God is not like me. I thank God that God is not the God of the second chance. Our God is the God of the next chance, another chance. Because some of us, how many know it's not a second chance we need? It's a thousand and second chance. That God is still willing. If you would shake off and say, you know what, yeah, the sin of the flesh, I'm getting rid of it. Shake off the poverty mindset. The devil has bitten people with a poverty mindset. That God will never bless you, that you can never have, that you can never achieve, that job is not for you, or that business will never take off. You've been bitten by a poverty mindset. When you see other people blessed, you become a little bit disgruntled. Like somehow there's a limited amount and they've got that, so now there's not a room for you. Can I tell you, there is an abundance. Me and my wife, we was, after the conference, I usually go and visit my dad in Orlando, and we went to a restaurant in Orlando and it was outside. And so there was a little bird. I don't know what type of bird. It was a tiny little bird. And my wife just peeled off some of the bread that we had. They gave us some bread before the meal. And she just threw it, and the bird had it, and it was this tiny little bird. And my wife, you know, she's a gentle soul. I'd be like, the bird. God will provide for the bird. He said it in the word. My wife, you know, she's a gentle soul. She's like, oh, look, let's give to the bird. Some of you are like, he don't care for birds. He's kicking dogs. There's something wrong with his brother. No, 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 no. Yeah, I love animals. Yeah, amen.
And so, and the bird, and then two other birds, bigger birds, come and they're chasing this bird around. And then they jacked the little bird. They stole the bread. I was like, boy, thief everywhere, man. But this was the irony. We were sitting, so I was sitting here, the table's here. My wife was sitting there, the bird was just there. There was another table here where a couple had just left. And on the table, they had left two loaves of bread. And I looked at that and I was like, that's how man is. Scrambling over scraps when just here, there is an abundance. There was an abundance. Can I tell you, we got to get out of this poverty mindset. There is an abundance. There is an abundance. When you see someone else blessed, praise God that they've been blessed because yours is coming next. Or the next. Believe God. But some of us, we've got to shake off this poverty mindset. Some people have been bitten by words and thinking which is directly against the Word of God. And one, I can speak about many different things, but I want to speak to some married couples in here. And not because people have said anything to me, but the devil will bite you, and now you're thinking about divorce. You're thinking about it. Maybe you've even mentioned it. You're thinking about these thoughts. This is from the pit of hell. You're thinking about it. You're going through turbulence, going through a storm. The devil has attached himself. Let me close by saying this. A survivor is someone who exceeds the expectations of man. The amazing thing about this story is that the divers that found him, they actually weren't looking for bodies. Sorry, they weren't looking for survivors. They were actually swimming around, thought they'd find dead bodies. They probably found some dead bodies already. There were 12 people on that ship. 10 of them they found dead. One of them they've never found. And so as this diver is swimming through this dark water in the ship, navigating through the cabins with his swimming, his breathing apparatus on, his gear on, and he sees a hand. And it's Harrison's hand. And he says on the thing, we found another body. And as he grabs Harrison's hand grabs his. And the diver, I think he swears. He's alive. They did not expect to find survivors. Can I tell you, in our text, when Paul was bitten by the viper, they did not expect him to live. They expected him to die. That's what they did. If you're going to be a survivor, you're going to have to exceed the expectations of man. Can I tell you what religion is? This is what religion is. Man makes his rules, and then you meet up to his expectations. That's religion. Don't this, that. I want to meet up to expectations. Am I a good person? I'm meeting up to expectations. I'm doing what you do. I'm meeting up to expectations. That's what religion is. Walking with Jesus, being born again, having God in your life, being saved, means that you exceed the expectations of man. This boat is upside down. From the outside, it looks like there is no hope. Man is not expecting anything. But Jesus, like this ship, when our life is upside down, we can find a place of safety and survival. See, we can look from the outside and think, you've been bitten, you're going to die. You've been bitten, you're going to die. We can look from the outside and say, look, your life is upside down. Look what you've done. You've been bitten. Everything is wrong right now. Look at the state of you. And people could think, listen, it's over for them. But we're just looking at the outside. And maybe some of you have started to speak these words. It's over for me. You've become accustomed to live with this thing fixed to your hand. Maybe you've given it a name. You stroke it. Bring it to church and pet it. Maybe in ministry, you're trying to minister, but your ministry's hindered because this thing is there. But you're trying. God wants to shake it off. Shake it off. Listen, the boat was upside down. But Harrison inside the boat was the right side up. Your life can be upside down on the outside. But what way is it on the inside? See, Jesus starts with the inside first. Jesus wants to know that you've got things right on the inside first. This is why you've got to accept Jesus on the inside first. This is why Jesus says, be born again. Speaks about the inner man. Speaks about the issues of the heart. Is your heart the right side? Everything may be upside down, and everybody can be looking and say, you know what, it's finished for them. No problem. Those that follow Christ, they may be upside down for a while on the outside, but the inside. Psalms 17:8 says, keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me under the shadow of your wing. That means that keep me as the God, keep your eye on me. Keep your eye on me. Do you know that doesn't matter how deep you go, God can see you. Now, no matter what's on top of you, how much sea is on top of you, God can see you. On the outside is all of this going on, but there is something deeper on the inside. 1 John 4, verse 4 says this, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. What it says is, what's inside of you is far more superior, greater, stronger than anything that's happening outside of you. They see Paul bitten, this thing hanging off him. And these people, they're the natives. They know what's going on here. They've seen this happen many times, generation after generation. And they expect one or two things. He's going to swell up. He's going to catch a fever. Or suddenly he's going to fall down dead. And that's what they see. But nothing happens to this man. Nothing happens to him. Because he shakes it off. Can I tell you, he was bitten and he didn't die. He was bitten, but he didn't die. Everybody up to that point that they have seen being bitten dies. You may have been bitten. You may have things fixed to you right now. But that doesn't mean that you can't survive. That doesn't mean that it's over for you. See, it's not the bites that kill us. It's what we won't get rid of that kill us. It's not the bite that kills us. Is that we won't shake it off that destroys us. It's not the bite that finishes us. It's not the mistakes. It's not that sin and poverty and these things attach itself to us. That's not what it is. Many times it's because we refuse to die. Jesus is telling you right now, listen, refuse to die. Greater is God in you than anything that can happen to you on the outside. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.